This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from the New Media Production Studio. Tonight's lead stories are Tesla Autopilot is under serious scrutiny, the Apple AirTags and what it really means to be tracked, SpaceX crewed mission to launch in the very early hours Eastern tomorrow, and of course, more autonomous cars and legislation around that. I want to welcome you to episode 1523 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, April 22nd. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today by going to geeknewscentral.com/insider. Hey, I want to give a warm, warm welcome to all the new listeners of the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for checking out for the very first time. And really, all you got to do is take just a moment, get over to geeknewscentral.com. When you're on the website, get connected to the show by following and subscribing to the podcast. Of course, a little bit further down the website is the newsletter. So we'll want you to get connected to that as well. That way you'll get the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. And of course, you can join our chat room at geeknews.chat. That's a Mastodon chat server, so feel free to do that or join our Discord channel. You can also join our Slack channel by sending an email to me at geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, I'm on Twitter as well, at geeknews. We're live streaming today, Facebook, YouTube, everywhere, including Twitter. So you can catch the show just about every place, even over on Twitch. You can follow me on Facebook. And of course, all the partner shows are linked to geeknewscentral.com. And really, that's a way to stay connected with the rest of the family here, the New Media Show, the Pro Gear Guru site, the Gadget Professor, the Podcast Legend Show, the GNC Week in Review. Definitely check all those out. And of course, we want you to tune in every Monday and Thursday evening in around 7 o'clock, because that's when I go live. So if you want to join me somewhere right around there, join me on Facebook or at live.geeknewscentral.com. This show is sponsored by the longest-running continuous sponsor of a podcast. That's our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. And this is a great way for you to save money, lots of money. Through the end of the month, of course, we got the 30% off new product purchases. We've got $4.99.coms. We got $1 a month economy hosting for the first year of the free domain and $1 managed WordPress hosting for the first year, again with a free domain. Those are the two best hosting deals available in the podcasting space, or actually not in the podcasting space, in the web hosting space. So definitely check out those deals. Of course, we've got the ability for you to get a free trial of GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal business or business plus plans. But really, those hosting deals, are absolutely the best deal for you to get started. Start a podcast, start a blog, start your online business. $12. Where can you start a business for $12? Let's do it. And we want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central. We do appreciate every time you use one of the promo codes. It really, truly goes right back into paying for the writers and everything that goes on here. So use those promo codes. And if you can't, become an insider. But again, come over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Check out all those deals and we'll get you all hooked up. Hey, Brad, nice to see you. Richard, nice to see you. Yep, thanks for being here and checking in on Facebook. If you're watching on one of the live streams, make sure you say hello. Definitely appreciate it when you do that, of course, as well. So let me just kind of get you guys caught up here. It's been a busy week. What else is new? Typical busy week. And I've just been spending some extra hours here. The studio is a mess. It needs a cleaning. It really does. And my loft, too. I've got stuff, just boxes. I've had a whole bunch of review stuff come in. I'm cleaning up from other stuff. It's crazy. So I'm not guest ready right now in the studio at all. But this weekend, I'm looking forward to, of course, I'm off. I don't have to do the New Media Show this weekend. So we're only doing one day a week right now. So that means yours truly gets to do a plethora of other tasks to get done. But more importantly, the snowing has stopped. We had snow on the ground Tuesday and Wednesday. It was nuts. I mean, really, really, really nuts. I'm ready for short sleeves. I'm ready for shorts. Come on, warm weather. Come on, it's time. It's time to get rid of blue jeans until at least November. It's killing me here. But that's what's going on. And in the local here. If you guys notice tonight, I've got the green Ohanosaurus up for those of you watching. So that's a flashback to Hawaii days and all the flowers. And so anyway, let's move on here. Got a good lineup of stuff for you to talk about tonight. Of course, Apple. Whew. Every time Apple has an announcement, I'm thinking, how bad is this going to hurt my wallet? Well, fortunately, I really don't need anything from Apple right now. So I want, but I don't need. Those are two different things. And I have to be very, very budget conscious here. So I think the only thing I'm going to be able to afford is the Apple AirTags at $29.95. We're going to talk about those in a minute. But obviously, if you are a graphics designer, that new iPad Pro, whew, with the color tone and all that, sounds to me like that's going to be a winner. Now, if you are kind of tired of space gray and you are due for a new iMac, well, you can get a plethora of colors along with a plethora of one new color for the iPhone. But I think the thing, of course, they made some big announcements about podcasting, and we actually got briefed today. I'd had a meeting with Apple late this afternoon, and I had a meeting. I actually was invited to a private presentation about the new premium offering, or basically what's being allowed now. As those of you that are listening to podcasts a lot, because I know you are, you're listening to this show, is you're now going to be able to, in a new way, get access to premium content. You'll be able to subscribe to premium content at the Apple Podcast app. So it's an interesting move. There's things that we can do with our public feeds as well. We can set up a intro or bonus, basically intro episode that shows up on our profiles. Lots of big changes here. So I think what you're going to start seeing is an intermixing of free podcasts along with some premium offerings. So it's going to be fun to watch how this develops. Now, when is this coming? Sometime in May. So they didn't say the exact date, but sometime in May. They're actually having some challenges right now transferring to their new system. Last I checked, the new media show let me see here. Let me check Geek News Central and see if I'm listed right now on. So Geek News Central is fine on Apple Podcasts, but the new media show was not showing up. Let me see if it's been fixed. Yeah, it hasn't been fixed yet. So they're still fixing listings over there. So some shows have went missing from the Apple Podcast directory during this upgrade. So I'm checking here. Don Bain's show's down. Let me see if Kirk's is down. See if his has been affected by this. So let me click on his show. Why did that load? Let me look at that. Kirk's show is fine. So, and Geek News Central is fine. It's just the new media show and Don Bain's show. So it's not that you're not going to get some of your podcast here, but they've got some problems that they're working through. It didn't go smoothly. And then the 5 o'clock call I had with Apple today, we talked about it quite a bit. So Richard says, can you imagine a world where the new M1 iPad Pro had a power user switch in settings, flip it to the on and you boot into a touch version of Mac OS, flip it off and you boot back into iPad OS. The hardware is there now to support. It's probably true, but do you know you can use a touchpad now with iPad? That is possible. They've got a keyboard set up so that you can use a Magic Pad with the iPad. So, you know, that's the only thing. I wish they would have updated the regular iPads. The iPad Pro is big. And it's sexy, of course, but it's too big for like laying in bed and reading, and it's designed for productivity. I use the iPad Pro at conventions and we would show off screens, real easy to demo. But I really am at the point where my iPad is probably the oldest device I have, but it's working fine. So no need for an upgrade. Okay, so these Apple AirTags are very interesting. And Apple is saying that we are not going to have these so they can be tracked. In other words, I can't put one of these Apple AirTags in someone's car and use it to track them down. But according to The Verge, as I've read through this, well, maybe. Let's say you are a Samsung Android user. You'll not get a notification that there's an AirTag following you, because they've got this thing is called when you have a iPhone and there's an AirTag that is not yours that is placed in your proximity in your car, on your person, in a bag, and you go walking around, Apple's going to say, hey, you have someone pacing with you. That's the word they're going to use on your mobile device. Now, what about Android users? Well, that's not clear, but it doesn't sound like that is what's going to happen. But they did an experiment where they sent one of their writers from The Verge out into the wild with a single Apple AirTag and no phone, no smartwatch, or any other mode of communication. And the challenge was to see if this individual that wrote this article's Apple Find My system for locating AirTags would be able to lead him to. Now, what happens is when you ping for an AirTag, Apple's looking all over the place, and it's actually using your non-owner's Bluetooth to be able to see that tag and do a proximity location alert back to the owner's phone. Now, did you hear what I just said? Now, this guy was standing on a street corner, and apparently there were two hits that led the rider. He says, after a half hour walking around, I finally found him. He was standing on a street corner with no foot traffic whatsoever, which meant that the intermittent signals I got detailing his location came from a couple of iPhones and cars that were driving by. That's impressive. So here is the dilemma. Tags If I put a tag on your car, an Apple AirTag on your car, and you park that car at a mall or house, and if there's any other Bluetooth devices around, it potentially is going to give me that location. Now, if the person has an iPhone, he's going to get alerted, or he or she is going to get alerted. But this, to me, is a problem. And we'll see how Apple handles this. But it sounds to me like they're... Okay, so here's one. Here's a scenario. The real trick, and this is from the Verge article, and the hidden complexity arises when you're tracking an AirTag out in the world. When someone is truly lost, like everything in Apple's Find My network, the AirTag's location is end-to-end encrypted, so only you can see its location, but any iOS device can send that location to you. Ding, 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 ding. If somebody comes upon a lost AirTag, they can tap it via NFC to see information about it, including its serial number. If you, the owner, has put it in loss mode, they have it, the option to have that information page show the phone number and a brief message so you can contact them. This NFC feature works equally well with iPhones and Android. Oh, equally well with iPhones and Android devices. That means all it takes to locate an AirTag is for any iPhone with Bluetooth on it to see it, even if the iPhone is whizzing by in a car. Apple is leveraging its huge network of devices as a competitive advantage here, along with the competitive advantage of directly offering this functionality as system-level features. Now, you guys remember I used to do tags with Android devices, right? We had this cool thing. I had 5 tags I carried around with me. And if someone had Bluetooth on, it would advertise the show on their phone because it would pick up that proximity alert. And Android shut that down. I've still got a box of tags, probably $500 worth of worthless Android tags that we were having a lot of fun with. We were putting these things everywhere. And at $5 a piece, I would go to a convention and I would drop 10 of those around the convention and people would be walking around with their phone and they would get alert and say, come to booth such and such to see this. And people were shocked. They said, how did you send my phone a message? And I said, well, we've got tags around here that interact with the Bluetooth and can basically send your phone a message that shows up in displays. We had a lot of fun with that for a long time. Those of you that have been here for a while, remember we talked about that. And I was really disappointed when Android took that away. I couldn't track nobody. I couldn't figure out who I had reached, but I could message them with that tag. That tag would send a signal to the Bluetooth. The Bluetooth would then call out on the internet and say, who are you? And the message would be delivered. Little pop-up notification. This is a whole different dealio here. $29. I am sure we are going to hear a lot. Now, the other night, couldn't find my remote control. I had no idea where it was. I looked on my table, looked around the couch. You know how guys are when we lose something, right? Can't find it. I'm getting frustrated. Did I take it to the bathroom? You know, did I lay it on the kitchen table? Where was it? So, you know where it was? It was on the floor. It was right there in plain sight. But I'll put a tag on that thing. I'll put one of those $29 tags on the remote control so that it will go ding, ding to me. Because how many of you that have iPhones have lost your phone in your house? Can't remember where you put it and use your other device, find my iPhone, to find your phone, to set it to beeping, right? Because oftentimes I've got my thing on do not disturb. I've got the volume all the way down. I don't hear it ping, but if I use find my iPhone, it'll go da-doom, da-doom, da-doom. It'll ring me and I'll be able to walk around and know where it's at. Or in one instance, where's my phone? Where's my phone? Was still here in the office. I left it here. It said, hey, it's 13 miles away from you, knucklehead. I said, well, that's dumb. I left it at work. So there are cool things with this tech, but at the same time, Apple says it's not a privacy issue, but there is going to be some case where some person is going to use this to track their significant other, and they are going to be doing nefarious things. First of all, ladies, you guys carry, I mean, like a metric ton of stuff in your purse, right? This tag is a little round thing. And if someone dropped one of those into your purse, you wouldn't know it. Maybe later you rummage around. What is that down there? You're going to find this thing and you're going to freak out. A hammer will work real well on these things. You're going to freak out. But what if you have a partner? Let's say that partner has hidden this because many of you have like 5 or 6 or 10 compartments in those purses, has hidden that in your purse or your luggage or wherever. And it's kind of scary, right? So, you know, it's cost them $29 to do that. I'm sure there's going to be some sort of reporting, but this is just a new thing. This is just a new thing law enforcement is going to have to deal with here. Richard says, yes, but I want Mac OS on iPad badly. I actually don't. I don't want Mac OS on iPad. I hope they stay separate. I've already got a computer. I don't need to have another Mac OS on that. All right, let's talk about Tesla. Oh, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. Now, if you are stupid enough, and I'm going to use that word, if you are stupid enough to let your car go down the road in autopilot and you get out of the driver's seat on purpose, you will reap the consequences of doing that. But Consumer Reports said Thursday it was easily, and, oh, they said, first of all, under no circumstances should anyone try this. Consumer Reports said Thursday was easily able to trick Tesla's autopilot system to operate without anyone in the driver's seat. The publication's test committed questions about the safety of the company's advanced driver assist system in the aftermath of the fatal crash in Texas, in which authorities said there was no one behind the steering wheel. Using a weighted chain, using a weighted chain attached to the steering wheel to stimulate the pressure of the, see, they should not even print this, to stimulate the pressure of the driver's hands, two Consumer Report researchers were able to use the steering wheel dial on a Tesla Model Y to accelerate from a full stop and then drive around a closed course test track for several miles, all the while sitting in the passenger seat and back seat. They stopped the vehicle by using the dial to bring the speed back down to zero. Tricking the Tesla to operate without someone behind the wheel was as simple as keeping the driver's seatbelt buckled, but not opening the driver's side door during the test, and using the weight to simulate hands on the steering wheel. There should be a weight sensor. They do it for how much does that sensor cost? You've got a kid. He sits down in the seat, right? And what do these cars do now? The kid puts on the seatbelt, and the car says, disabling the airbag, because the kid isn't heavy enough. What are you doing up there, kitty? I'm about to have a visitor, ladies and gentlemen. I think he wants to come over and be part of the show, as long as he doesn't touch any buttons. Oh, he's going the other way. We've already got the tech to put a kid in a passenger seat to turn off the airbag. Why, Tesla? Why do you not have a sensor in the seat to turn these features off and make that car stop when someone that is not smart enough for their own good tries to do some stupid, hey, what? Hold my beer, watch this move. You need to get down. I'm trying to be nice to you. Yeah, please go somewhere else. He's become very adventurous. He's the older cat. That's Boss. So, in my opinion, this action that's being done by Congress, Tesla crash prompts senators to push for new safety recommendations. Senator Richard Blumenthal and Ed Markey urge the NHTSA to work on new guidelines for driver assist systems. I agree. There should be no way anyone should be able to implement autopilot or self-driving and being in the passenger seat. They need to fix this right now. Because what if that car had not hit a tree? What if it would cross over the center line and hit a family of five? It's bad enough these two individuals had a watch my hold my beer moment. But what if they'd have killed somebody else? And therein lies the concern of what's happening today is that Congress is resurrecting a push to allow thousands of more autonomous vehicles on the road. Safety advocates said that the new bill fails to provide consumer protection. And I'm going to urge you, I'm all for autonomous driving. I love my vehicle that does lane centering, but I very much know the limitations of that. There are times it goes, it's lost lane centering for no reason. There's sometimes it goes left. Sometimes it goes right for no reason. Sometimes it tries to take an exit for no reason. It has its limitations. And when it's working on a beautiful road, just to be able to have pressure on the steering wheel is fantastic. It makes driving the car a pleasure. But I know if I take my hands off the steering wheel, within about 30 seconds, the car is going to alert. Then about 15 seconds later, the car is going to start rapidly decelerating. How do I know? I tried it. It will stop the vehicle. It brings the vehicle to a stop. All the while, flashing at you, shuddering the steering wheel, doing all kinds of things to say, hey, hey, hey. I wanted to see what happened. And as it was, my hands were right close to the steering. So I know the limitations. I would never, ever, you know, the amendment would give the NHTSA the power to exempt 15,000 vehicles per manufacturer from certain safety standards, with that number increasing to 80,000 in 3 years. The effect would be to grant more leeway to automakers like Ford and GM, as well as tech firms like Google and Amazon, to manufacture and deploy vehicles that lack traditional controls like steering wheels, pedals, and side mirrors. Today, the NHTSA is only legally allowed to grant 2,500 exemptions per manufacturer. The agency handed out its first autonomous vehicle exemption to a California-based company called Nuro in early 2020. Safety groups say the amendment falls short simply to previous legislation like the AV Start Bill, which died after failing to muster enough support, along with trial lawyers and some local officials that argue that technology is not ready for prime time, and want Congress to empower the NHTSA to require more data from autonomous vehicle operators, such as crash reporting and disengagements of the self-driving software. So what they're doing is going to want, their desire is to allow more autonomous vehicles, up to 80,000 autonomous vehicles without a driver to be on the road in the next 3 years. I'm all for being able to get in my car and say, take me here. But we have to be ready. We have to have this technology. We're close. I said a couple of years ago, we were probably, maybe 6 or 7 years away, or 10 years away. So now we're 6 or 7 years away. We got to be careful, and we have to, if you hear this going on, you need to spout and open your mouth and call your congressman and call your local officials to express how you feel about this. Now, I'm all good if things are rolling around at 5 miles an hour, you know, and it's not in the lane of traffic I'm in. But someone's going to die because of these vehicles that was no fault of their own. And then who's in fault? So what if you're, you know, this hasn't been answered yet. What if you're in a Tesla and you're in autopilot mode and you're cruising down the highway and someone does something stupid like I've seen before where they cars came off an on-ramp and pulled right in front of me and braked. I've seen all kinds of crazy, and we've all, you know, maybe the car will react faster than the human, but what if it doesn't? And you cream the car that's in front of you and you kill somebody. And it was on autopilot. Who's at fault? Are you the one that potentially gets charged with manslaughter? Now, I'm not saying that that would happen, but something is going to happen. I guarantee they're going to be looking at everything. Excuse me. All right. Enough on that. You know where I'm at. Are you there with me? Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. I want to hear what you have to think about this. And some of you have a Tesla out there. There's a few of you. Come on. You got autopilot. I want to hear everything that you found in autopilot in a Tesla or any vehicle that has a similar type of activity. I want to hear from you. I want to hear your experience. I know some of you are stuck with your hands on the wheels. You have to drive because this technology doesn't come cheap in vehicles. So you're probably the ones that are going to be safe because you're going to see these vehicles doing weird things. My car does it. My car will, when it's trying to lane center, it'll go to the line. It'll go back to the opposite line. And then it kind of weaves just a little bit and before it gets up on center. But it has to like find its boundaries. And if I was a police officer behind my vehicle, so that person's drinking, you know, go from one line to the other. So anyway. Or you want to watch a SpaceX third crewed mission. Now, if you're listening to the show after Friday, it's at 5:30 a.m. or 5:49 a.m. Eastern. It's already went. But SpaceX is slated to launch its third crew to the International Space Station, fairing two astronauts from NASA, one from the Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency, and the first European Space Agency astronaut to fly a private U.S. rocket, so these private U.S. spacecraft to orbit. The four crew person will launch SpaceX Falcon 9 at 5:49 a.m. Eastern on Friday. I'm going to sleep through it. I'll watch it on replay. But the mission is dubbed Crew 2. And this marks a second operational mission, but third actual humans in the can. So I think SpaceX has live coverage starting about 1:30 in the morning. Lego has a new $200 R2-D2. The droid you're looking for. Bigger, more detailed, and less clunky than before. If you want to get one of these, yep, $200. I just want to buy one. I want it put together. Preferably glued so it doesn't come apart. But, you know, I'm sure to buy one would be like $500 or $1,000. You have someone put them together and sell them. I'm not going to buy one. It'd be cool to have. If someone wants to donate one to the show, that they could do that. You know, we always take donations here at the podcast. Gear, cool stuff, props for the show. You know, if you want to buy some prop for me to put back on the back, let me send it to me. Every once in a while, you'll see something new back there. And it usually comes from somebody that's donated something to the show. All right. AT&T has beat earnings report. Thanks to the best wireless first quarter in over 10 years. The carrier's advertising appears to be doing well. They reported revenues of $43.9 billion for the quarter, beating the $42.69 billion expected. $43.9 billion. So, in the quarter, the carrier had 823 postpaid additions, of which 595,000 were phone net adds. So, AT&T did well in the phone business. If you want to know what's coming to Netflix for May up to, you know, I haven't probably turned on Netflix only once in the last month. So, but May is looking pretty good for Netflix. A bunch of Netflix original series are coming back. So Lucifer finally returns on May 28th. We'll see the Kaminsky Method for its third season. The fourth season of the animated hit Castlevania returns. I've watched none of these. There's also some movies coming out. The second season of Dirty John, that is based on the hit podcast series, comes to Netflix. Haven't watched that one. Has anyone watched Dirty John? I have not. It sounds like very sexual, is it? I should know this, right? Mont Blanc. You know, the only thing I own from Mont Blanc is a, Do I own anything from Mont Blanc? Maybe a business card holder. Maybe. But Mont Blanc has a fitness-centric Wear OS smartwatch, arrives in the United States for $860. Why? Why would you buy a Mont Blanc watch when you can have a Apple Watch for much cheaper? Podcasting recording platform Riverside, who I've been working with a little bit, we're going to be announcing some stuff soon, has raised a $9.5 million funding round. And so that's congratulations to that team over there. They're doing good things for remote recording. I really like the platform. I used it some here in the past. It does a double ender recording of audio. So you get good audio from each guest or person that's on the podcast. The original audio uploads while you're recording. So Riverside.fm, 9.5 million, congratulations to them. Twitter's also rolled out 4K image support on Android and iOS. So following a test the company ran in March, Twitter users on both iOS and Android can now upload images at 4K. Okay. Look on your phone. Google Fi's wireless service gets a new, cheaper, unlimited plan. So to get a sense of what this new Simply Unlimited plan has to offer, though, to date, you've only had two options for Fi service. There's Flexible plan that charges the base rate of between $16 to $20, depending on how many lines you have, plus $10 for each gig of data. There's the new Fi Unlimited plan, which costs between $45 and $70 a month, depending on the number of lines. So Google offers some pretty hefty price breaks for the first 3 months of service. And then Simply Unlimited is $30 per line for three lines, $45 per line for two lines, and $60 per line for one line, plus taxes and fees for their new plan. So there you go. If you're a Google Fi user, some new options for you. The president is betting big on small networks to close the digital divide. And basically, this $100 billion broadband funding that he's proposed, a $2.25 trillion infrastructure bill, is going to go toward trying to connecting every American to high-speed broadband. Do we really think they've never been able to close the gap? They haven't. They haven't been able to do it. They spent billions already. They just haven't been able to do it. Do you really think that commercial networks want to build something that has such low density? I don't see businesses doing that. The proposal said it would promote price transparency and competition among internet service providers by lifting barriers that prevent these networks from competing on an even playing field with private providers like AT&T, Comcast, and Verizon. This could mean preempting the laws in states like North Carolina that restrict the creation and expansion of publicly owned broadband. This could mean preempting the laws in states like North Carolina that restrict the creation and expansion of publicly owned. So they're basically telling states, you can't limit competition no more. I agree with this. To say that communities can't decide to take a vote, spend their own money, establish, extend their own utilities based on what their residents want and what they need locally is ridiculous, says Angelina Panterieri, Legislative Director of the Information Technology and Communications at National League of Cities. And basically, we have talked about this for years, in which big broadband has fought. It's happened in this town right here that I'm in right now. They have fought with the local legislature, say, we don't want competition. We are the franchise of record. We'll see. We will see. I just don't believe it. After all these years of false promises, I don't see him happening. I don't, regardless of what they try to do, because states are going to fight it. States are going to go because these lobbyists in these states are very, very powerful. They're going to go to their state legislatures and said, look what the federal government's trying to do. Are you going to take this to court? And, you know, separation of, you know, state and federal. Are you going to let the federal dictate what you can do here in this state? These lobbies have big money. Look at the earnings report from AT&T, $42.5 billion. They could take $1 billion of that and use that to fight to keep their dominance. I just don't. We'll see. These companies have gotten too powerful. When Google and Apple and all these other companies have revenues higher than like many countries, it should set you back in your seat. You should go, huh? Now, we're proud that they built these big companies, but they have so much power. And look what they're doing with speech and everything else. iOS and iPad OS 15 will feature major changes to notifications on the home screen. Plus, Apple plans to make iMessage more of a social network. Lovely. It's all about the social network. Bloomberg sources says the upcoming OS updates will allow users set different notification rules based on their status. In this case, means some predefined buckets like working, sleeping, or driving, as well as custom statuses that users can define themselves. I don't want anyone to know what I'm doing. If I'm up at midnight, I don't want my phone reporting that I'm awake or I'm asleep. I want to go to voicemail, or I can choose to answer the phone. I don't want to set any statuses. And a more serious note here, the FCC wants your thoughts on improving the shorter national suicide prevention lifeline number. Now, this number is not going to be into effect until July 16th of 2022. But there's going to be a new number. Do you guys know what it is? It's going to be 988. And 988, as of July 16th, 2022, will connect you to the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. But again, it doesn't work yet. Do you have a teenager that has a phone? You should pre-program this number, the real number, as it is right now, 1-800-273-8255. 1-800-273-8255 is the current number for the National Suicide Prevention Line. But there's a crisis text line, text START to 741-741 from anywhere in the United States at any time about any type of crisis. And there's also the Trevor Project. But as of July 16th, 988 will be the number. So they're looking for your feedback. And some of you, most sadly, will have potentially had a family member that has committed suicide. So provide your feedback to the FCC. And I don't know exactly what they want. But they want public comment on the implementation details before it starts drawing up the actual rules, like what kinds of things people should be able to text the lifeline, what happens if a message bounces back, et cetera, et cetera. So again, currently the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 1-800-273-8255. Take that number down, put it in your phone. You never know when a friend may need that number. Moving on here. Apple's downplaying complaints about the App Store scams in an antitrust hearing. They were questioned on its inability to rein in subscription scammers on its App Store during yesterday's Senate antitrust hearing. The tech giant has argued that one of the reasons it requires developers to pay App Store commissions to help Apple fight marketplace fraud. But of course, developers are claiming Apple is doing very little to stop the obvious scams that they're now raking in millions and impacting consumer trust. We know about Costa y Laferro and how he's made his mission to highlight most of the egregious scams on the App Store and how people have lost money. We know how crypto wallet app scammed someone out of $600K. So in a line of questioning from Georgia Senator John Ossoff, Apple's chief compliance officer, Kyle Anderier, was asked why Apple was not able to locate scams given that these fraudulent apps, as Ossoff put it, trivially easy to identify as scams. He asked, why do we have to rely upon open source reporting and journalists to find the app scams? He demurred, responding to Ossoff's question by saying that Apple has invested tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars in hardening and improving the security of the App Store. Well, he didn't answer the question. He said, unfortunately, security and fraud is a cat and mouse game. Any retailer will tell you that. And so we're constantly working to improve. He also claimed Apple is investing in more resources and technology to catch wrongdoers and noted that the App Store rejected thousands of apps every year for posing a risk to consumers. Then the exec warned that if Apple wasn't the intermediary, the problem would be even worse. So the game continues. On Windows 10? Well, weather news are coming to the Windows taskbar. I'd turn that stuff off. Microsoft's adding a news and interest feature to Windows 10. In total, the tool creates a shortcut on the taskbar that allows you to check the weather as well as catch up on your latest news, sports scores, and stock prices. Yep, just what we need. University of Minnesota has been banned from contributing to the Linux kernel. Well, they had a little social experiment that looks like it went sideways, or maybe it wasn't a social experiment. But they've been banned from contributing to the Linux kernel by one of its maintainers after researchers from the school apparently knowingly submitted code with security flaws. Two researchers from the university released a paper detailing how they had submitted known security vulnerabilities to the Linux kernel in order to show how potentially malicious code could get through the approval process. Now, after another student from the university submitted code that reportedly does nothing, kernel maintainer and Linux Foundation fellow Greg Craw Hartman has released a statement calling for all kernel maintainers to reject any code submissions from anyone using the umn.edu email address. The university is investigating and will report back. But naughty, naughty, naughty. Facebook, not surprising, is testing topic targeting for in-stream video ads. So they're adding some capabilities for video advertisers on Facebook and Instagram, as well as new numbers about the potential audience that those ads might reach. Company says there are now 2 billion people each month who watch videos that are eligible for in-stream ads. I wonder if we're going to get them over here. The vice president of Facebook's global business group, I wondered whether traditional advertisers are comfortable with the company's metrics. Of course, they had a problem in 2016 where they inflated stuff. Well, we already get a lot of advertising, right? And videos. Huh. Comcast has taken another step towards 10G, not 1G, 10G, with a test of a multi-gigabit chip. It's already hit speeds of 4 gigs per second upstream and downstream. This is a cable modem breakthrough. So this is awesome. According to the company, this live test lab will pave the way for Comcast to deliver multi-gigabit upload download speeds over its hybrid fiber coaxial network, HFC, after it showed speeds running up to 4 gigs up and down. Well, speeds like that would tear through current bandwidth caps in record time represents what cable companies expect from the new standard released by Cable Labs last year. Comcast's full duplex setup relies on a hybrid fiber cable strategy to deliver ultra-fast speeds. While fiber networks have already established bidirectional gigabit speeds, until now, most cable connections are extremely limited in upload. Yes, even in places where gigabit download speeds are possible. And for me to get like 400 here, I have to go to a different provider, and you would not believe the amount of money for that. Amazon's cashierless tech could be ready for full-size supermarkets. Planning documents from a Connecticut location include a similar setup to Amazon Go outlets. So they're ready to bring a cashierless grocery store to full site. Sign me up. I go shopping at Meijer's. I put my stuff in my basket. The line to go through a checkout where there's 30 people in line to go through a cashier, and then there's 20 open registers where you can ring your own stuff up. And you have to go over there. You have to ring it up. Doot, 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 doot. You know, doing their job for them. I really hate. If it's one item, you know, those swipe out things where you can't check out yourself, those should be have signs limited to 10 items. And the grocery store should be forced to have enough cashiers to check you out. So I'm all for, because if they're going to go for this all in, I just want to throw stuff in the cart and I want to walk out. Ding, ding me when I go out the door and tell me what my bill is and let me approve it. I don't need to go through a line. It would save me half an hour every time I go to the grocery store. So, how about you? Don't you hate it? I hate self-checkout. Maybe it's my age. I really hate it. Now, if I've got a candy bar and a Coke, doot, doot, I'm good. But a whole bunch of stuff. I was at Home Depot this afternoon. At least there they got the doot, 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 doot. You can use the little wand to go through stuff. Boop, boop, boop. And they got someone there to give me my 10% military discount. Boop, 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 boop. And I'm out of there. That's not bad. But when I have to swipe thing across that stupid reader, oh my God, drives me crazy. All right, moving on here. I'm confused. There's an article here that I don't understand what this is. Waymo, W-E-M-O, Wemo, latest smart home gadget is a $50 Apple Home remote. Huh? All right. It says you can use the device to activate up to 6 different scenes. What is a scene in a home? Someone, come on. Someone's got this. I don't know what a stage scene controller is. Has a whole bunch of buttons on it. Let you activate up to 6 different Apple Home scenes. What is an Apple Home scene? I don't know. I thought I knew everything about Apple's products. I don't know this. If someone does, help a brother out. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Foxconn has drastically scaled back plans for the $10 billion Wisconsin factory. Imagine that. After promising 13,000 new jobs, Foxconn will only create 1,454 jobs. It's cheaper to have slave labor in China build stuff. After Newsweek promised to invest $10 billion, the company will instead put $672 million into the project. Oh, yep. Imagine that. Are you surprised that foreign investment is going back overseas? I am not surprised. If you see what they've got planned, oh my God. If you see all those stuff that moves, you're going to move right back out. The capital gains tax thing that just came out today. Oh my God. Just give them your money. Just give the government your money. That's all they want. They just want you to give you all your hard-earned dollars. iPhone 12 models accounted for 61% of U.S. iPhone sales in fiscal quarter 2, 2021. So there's a beauty of a red phone. So the iPhone 12 was the best-selling, followed by the 12 Pro Max, 12 Pro, and the 12 Mini. So what did you buy? Apple, again, wants more social features in iMessage, and this goes into more details. I'm not going to read through this. You guys can check it out if you want, but it goes into details what they're going to do. Is this more emojis or something? This battle between Apple and Facebook. Imagine this. Facebook will ask users about negative experiences in newsfeed. Boy, let me fill this survey out. The survey will aid Facebook's effort to reduce political content in the newsfeed. How many people did I put on 30-day breaks for a while there last year? In the hundreds. But, and when you tell Facebook to hide stuff from you, they don't. They keep serving it up. It's like they come home to mama. It's like every couple of days, all of a sudden, you see this stuff again. Hey, Jack, you'll love this one. U.S. aviation regulators warn of mid-air collisions risk if Garmin TCAS boxes are not updated. For those of you who don't know what TCAS is, TCAS is basically a system that warns you. If I can't remember what the actual designation is, crash avoidance system. So basically, if you're in the same altitude, you're heading towards each other, and the, you know you're it's supposed to warn you you're going to crash if you don't react. But apparently, the Garmin product GTS 8000 series generated 7 false traffic collision avoidance system warnings, and they need this if you're rich enough to own one of these airplanes that has a GTS 8000 in it, you need to update it. The FAA says the GTS 8000 were calculating incorrect range rates and triggering resolution advisories, instructions to climb or dive for intruder aircraft, which were greater than 10 nautical miles away. The technology is supposed to do that when another aircraft is 40 seconds away from collision. So a TCAS says descend, and the other system says climb. And it's so you don't run in each other and have a midair. So I want to say it's tactical collision avoidance system, but I don't know if it's actually T is for tactical. Someone will help me out. Mom's on the chat. She says, you want to read an Apple scene, might be soft music, drapes closed, light dimmed. Oh, you can set the scene. You can go, hey, S-I-R-I, set the mood to romantic, and it'll turn down the lights, put on a little Sade. So the remote control, you don't have to speak to it. It just does it. Oh, my gosh. How many remember Sade? I wonder how many babies were made to Sade. Intel revenue and profit dropped slightly from last year. So it's already announced a turnaround earlier this month. He said plans to, okay, well, let me go down here. Find the earnings per share was $1.39 versus $1.15. Adjusted expected down 1% year over year. Revenue was $18.57 billion versus $17.9. Adjusted expect flat year over year revenue. For Intel's second fiscal quarter, expect $17.8 billion, slightly higher than analyst expectations of $17.55. So, good job, Intel. Dropping your revenue. Let's get with it. Stock price is not good. Tesla solar panels will soon only be sold in bundles with Powerwall. Okay. Elon Musk says starting next week, Tesla solar panels and solar roof will only be sold as an integrated product. Solar power will be fed exclusively to Powerwall. Powerwall will be interfaced only between utility meter and house, main breaker panel, enabling super simple installs and seamless whole house backups during utility drop-offs. That's going to add about a $10,000 bill. So someone said, I have solar installed by Tesla since January. Hasn't generated a single watt hour, waiting for utility to approve the connection. This is what utilities do. Elon Musk replied, did you buy a Powerwall? Utility permission is required for flowing electricity back to the grid, but usually not if stored in our battery. This all enables 24/7 electricity security for your home. Utility permission is still needed for when your power wall is full and can stabilize grid. So here's the problem. Too many people in your neighborhood have solar. Your power grid is going to say, yeah, too bad. You can't have solar on your house. You can't feed anything back to the grid, so you got to store it. So this is smart, what they're doing here. The new Touch ID Magic keyboards will work with all M1 Macs, not just the iMac. It's only sold with the new iMac for now. So, interesting. Okay. Final article tonight. The U.S. Postal Service is monitoring social media for inflammatory postings. It said its actions are meant to protect the Postal Service infrastructure and employees. The USPS service may not be a likely candidate if you ask to name the government agency you think monitoring social media, but apparently by doing that, the Postal Service law enforcement arm has been running a surveillance program called the Internet Covert Operation Program. Analysts with the team have reportedly been trolling social media websites for inflammatory posts and distributing information they collect to other agencies through Homeland Security. Why are they doing this? Isn't that Homeland Security's job? Wow. That it's kind of interesting that government agencies are keeping an eye. Remember what your constitutional rights are. But if you're in the public domain, if you are publicly posting something, that basically you give up those rights. So, huh. Okay, well, that's going to bring me to an end. What does that mean? Well, that means you need to send me an email about what I talked about during the show today, and whether you thought I was on track, off track. Give me the ideas about what you liked here, what you didn't like. I did have an email come in though. Let me go over here and find this. So I hope you haven't left yet. If you did, you missed out. Let me see. I pushed the right button here. Let's go down here to comments. And I got an email from actually a couple of emails. Rob says, hey, so a Spot can pee beer, and that was about Spot the robot. How long until he poops chocolate? Well, good question. The next one was, hey, a conspiracy theory. It's been Mr. Dare has failed in his duties to provide me any conspiracy theories. I think he's been busy working. But it's been a while since you discussed conspiracy theories. Here's one that came from my little brain. Who knows? COVID conspiracy. Oh, here we go. I am not responsible for any. This is a conspiracy submitted by a listener. Okay. I'm going to read it as is. COVID conspiracy theory. Bill Gates. COVID vaccines do not have microchips in them. They actually have nanocomputers. Each of these nanocomputers can self-replicate. They're actually tiny Bitcoin mining computers. Everyone that gets a vaccine becomes a Bitcoin miner. These tiny computers use energy from the body to do their work. That is why some people experience fatigue when they first get the vaccine. Our body, again, this is a conspiracy theory. Our bodies recover, but then they need more food. You may notice that some foods are getting more scarce and more expensive lately. Not only that, but not known to many people is that Elon Musk is also involved. As the Bitcoin miners load up, they transmit data to the Starlink satellites. There's also rumors of a Bitcoin nanocomputer miners variant that works around the quantum level. It will be able to jump from one person to another so that even if you don't get the vaccine, you can still be infected. One more reason, stay 6 feet away from people and wear a mask. Again, a conspiracy theory submitted by a listener. That is freaking hilarious. It's a good one. Nanocomputers. You might be right. Who knows? Okay. You know the digits, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. It's been my pleasure to bring the show to you. Be back here on Monday. I am looking forward to having Friday, Saturday, 3 days of no creating content. It does my body good. And anyway, everyone be safe. Take care of your family members, friends, pets, etc. We'll see you next time. Take care. Bye-bye.